Romans chapter 10, we'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Thank you. You may be seated. And so, like I said, beloved, tonight, I really want to help us all to think right about soul winning tonight. I really want us to kind of take the approach that we see here in Romans chapter 10 to our daily lives. And that's my deepest desire tonight, is for all of us, that we would make the changes that we need to make if we need to make them, and that we would do it starting tonight based off God's word. And that's what the sermon tonight is really geared towards. So we see here Paul bears his heart in the beginning of chapter 10. He shares his earnest desire for the salvation of his kinsmen. It's a heartfelt concern for his Jewish brethren, who are so steeped in their religion of Judaism that they are unwilling to see their great need for Jesus Christ as their Savior. Think about the Jewish people back at this time. You know, up to this point, they had always followed the law. It was always Old Testament, law-abiding, law-keeping, things like that. And then Jesus comes on the scene and institutes a brand new religion, a religion of Christianity, a Baptist religion, which then starts at this time. And so they're very much stuck in their ways. So put yourself in Paul's shoes here. He's trying to reach these people for the gospel's sake, and yet this is what he's dealing with, people who are entrenched in Judaism. And so it's not unlike what we deal with today in other types of religions. We see Catholics entrenched and stuck in their ways. Very similar in you know, keeping the sacraments, trying to, by their good works, attain heaven. And you can name any other religion tonight, and there's going to be other oppositions there. And so that was Paul's opposition. People who are stuck in their ways, and then needing to now get them to reframe their mind and come to Christ and be saved. And so that was the battle for Paul. This would be no different than all of us having a great burden for our fellow Americans and the world at that. You know, do we have a burden for the lost around us? And I'm going to ask some questions in a little bit that we're going to challenge ourselves in tonight. But we need to have a burden for our fellow citizens all around us. We need to have a burden for the lost. And so tonight I want to challenge our thinking as Christians, and specifically the way we think about soul winning. So let me start off by asking those questions to all of us tonight so we can answer them. I'll go slow, and I really want everybody to consider themselves. Consider ourselves tonight, starting from the pulpit all the way to the last pew in the back. Let's ask ourselves these questions and see what needs to be changed in our lives if it needs to. So do you have a burden for the souls of your fellow man? Are you burdened for people around you who need the Lord? Are we conscientious or thoughtful of the needs of others all around us? Or are we primarily concerned with our needs, and that leads us not to think of the needs of others around us, primarily with their salvation? Think about if we're testimonies on the job or in our homes, and as we go about our daily activities elsewhere. Are we being testimonies? What would people say about us? What are we portraying by our actions, by our words, and by our thoughts? What's being portrayed through our lives? And then lastly, are we living circumspectly and being led of the Spirit each and every day? Those four things are really keys to being an effective witness. And I'm going to use that term a lot tonight, an effective witness. Because that's really what we're trying to hone in on here tonight. And that's what we want to achieve. We want to be effective in our witnessing. We want to see results from being witnesses to the lost around us. And so, are we living circumspectly? Are we living a clean life? Are we walking right? Are we living right? And so, we're given another glimpse into Paul's attitude and deep concern for the salvation of others when we read Romans 9:3, which says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." So do we realize what's being said here by Paul? He would wish himself to be estranged from Christ, his Savior, for the sake of his lost brethren. That was his attitude towards witnessing, towards soul winning. Is that our attitude tonight? Do we have the same care and concern for others? Like I mentioned, I'm preaching to all of us tonight, especially myself. I want to be this way. This is what I want. I want the same for all of us here tonight. Everyone who's saved, been saved by God's grace, this should be our desire, is to reach those all around us who are on the road to hell tonight. And so consider the selflessness of that statement, that he himself might be a curse from Christ so that Israel might be saved. The only way someone could say something like that is if they have a true, selfless, Christ-like spirit about them. That's the only way you can ever feel that way, is by having a Christ-like spirit. Not a fleshly spirit, but a Christ-like one. One where we prefer others above our own selves to such an extent that our own consequences don't even factor into the equation. So think about that. Paul was saying, I'm going to remove myself from any care, concern, anything as far as relating to having a relationship with Christ, and I would so much rather all my brethren be put in my place and have that same relationship with the Lord that I have, I would take myself out of it in favor of them. It was giving. It was the sense of others. It was others first. That needs to be our attitude. It's the only way that we can have an effective witness. And so, let's see here. We must prioritize soul winning in our lives. It must be the priority in each Christian's life. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in daily life. It's very easy not to think about the moments that are very important. Those moments can make an impact for eternity in the life of another person. You know, by us opening our mouths and preaching the gospel, teaching to them, witnessing to them, winning souls, by us doing that, it can make all the difference in someone else's life, an eternal difference in their life. And so we have to be thinking of others. We have to prioritize this in our lives. And so, you know, soul winning is not just the responsibility of our pastor or our church leadership. You know, a lot of church members can feel that way. Well, that's the pastor's job. He should be leading people to Christ. You know, he should be teaching the gospel. We're just here to receive. But that's not the case. It's every Christian's job to witness. The command is for all of us who've been saved to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. That's our responsibility, beloved. It's not pastors only. We have to carry that weight together, and we have to reach the world with the gospel. What are we doing to do that? How are we going to accomplish that? Do we have a plan to do that? We have to. We have to, otherwise it won't happen. And so, with that great command in mind, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, let us dive into the mindset required for us all to be effective soul winners. Okay, so let's think about that mindset. The first thing, my first point tonight, is I want to teach on the soul winner's armament. So what are the tools we've been given to be soul winners? Okay, we've been given tools, very specific tools that I'm going to bring out tonight. Knowing what the Lord has given to us to prepare us for spiritual warfare will be a great help in framing our mindset, again, talking about our thought life as we live our lives. It's important that we realize and take advantage of the tools that we've been given. So let's look at those tools now. We're going to first talk about prayer. So simply the most important thing we can do is to be prayed up each and every day. We have to be prayed up. Otherwise, we're going to be ineffective. We're going to be powerless. We have to be prayed up. It starts with prayer. You know, it was a great blessing, Pastor's message about a week and a half ago. He preached on a revival of love. He preached on prayer for the church. Those messages were so impactful in my life, where it really led to some necessary changes to prioritize prayer in my daily life. Because otherwise, we're just going through the motions at that point, beloved. We can't afford to be doing that. We have to prioritize prayer each and every day. It's so important. We can't underestimate the power of prayer. And so it's really to be in fellowship with the Lord throughout the day. That's going to encourage and remind us to be focused on those around us who are in need of salvation. So ever realize that when you're praying, the Lord puts people on your heart, puts other people's needs on your heart. It takes your eyes off yourself a little bit and helps you see the world around you, the world that's so needy for salvation, so needy for the Lord. And so prayer will put us in a spirit of others, thinking of others, putting others' needs before our needs. Prayer is vital to fending off the devil's advances in our lives. You know, this is going to have a direct impact in our effectiveness in witnessing to others. So the Lord will not use a dirty vessel. We all know that. And so prayer is going to ward off the attacks of Satan against us in temptation, in sin, all these things. We have to be prayed up in order to be able to fend those attacks off. Okay? So that's how you combat that, is by being in prayer. And so that's the first thing we want to use. We want to use prayer as a tool to be able to combat, to be able to arm ourselves as our armament against the devil, and to be effective witnesses. The second thing that's going to be important to have is the Holy Spirit leadership on our lives. This relates very closely to prayer, in that we must ask for the continual filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So it's not how much we have of God's Spirit, but rather how much we'll allow the Lord to have of us. Think about that. It's not how much of God's Spirit that we have, but how much does God really have of our heart? Does God have our heart all day, throughout the day? Or are there situations where we say, I'm okay, I'm going to keep this, you know, to myself here. This is not something I'm willing to surrender. When we do that, we're hindering God's work in our life. We're hindering the filling of the Spirit in our life, and thereby impacting our effectiveness in witnessing. And that's negatively impacting that. Okay, so we have to really make sure that we're surrendering all, and that's going to lead to the filling of the Spirit like we should have. And so a filling of the Spirit comes from submission to the Lord, His will, and His plan for our lives, even if it's contrary to our own desires. Again, putting what God wants first before what we want in our lives. That's so important. We cannot underestimate that. And so this is going to be a common occurrence. Whether we're going to make a decision to serve ourselves or serve the Lord, it's going to be a common occurrence when we're led to witness to someone. So an example here. You're in a conversation, you meet somebody out and about, whatever you're doing, and the Lord puts it upon your heart to witness to that person. I think we've all been there as Christians. You have to make a decision at that moment. Are you going to obey the command to witness, or are you going to come up with an excuse or put your will first over what God's will is? And so we have to choose what God wants us to do in those situations. We have to. Otherwise, that person's not going to be reached for the gospel. And we've had the opportunity and the prompting to do so. It's so important to obey that prompting. Sometimes we make excuses and even assumptions before we even take the first step in witnessing. We debate in our minds about it. You know, we have these internal struggles, these internal battles. Do I have enough time to share my testimony? You know, is there really enough time for me to get into a conversation with this person? Or will I get them next time? There's no guarantee there will be a next time. So when this prompting is there of God's Spirit, do not disobey that prompting. Do not do that. And so another question would be, what if they don't want to hear the truth? You know, what if they don't want to hear what I have to say? Is that what we're instructed to do? Or is our job to deliver the message? So we have to deliver the message. Regardless of what we think they're going to respond with, we have to deliver the message to them. And then another question that can come into our minds is, you know, will they think differently of me? Or what will they think of me? Or will they think differently of me if they know I'm a Christian? And what is that rooted in? You can raise your hand. What is that rooted in? What will they think of me if they know that I'm a Christian? Maureen? Pride, right. And which is also rooted in the fear of man, okay? Because we're worried about what are they going to think about me? But that's, again, not important. We're just a messenger. We are only there to deliver the message, and they can make the decision, a personal decision, whether or not they're going to choose Christ or choose the world. It's still up to them. So we have to give them that option. So these thoughts are filled with self-centeredness. We're still dwelling on ourselves when we're dealing with this. Again, we have to change our mindset and be focused on others rather than ourselves. Okay? That's so important that we be thinking about others' needs and not our own needs. You know, when we're walking with the Lord, we'll be sensitive to God's prompting of our hearts to witness. When we're walking with the Lord, we'll be sensitive to God's prompting of our hearts to witness. If we're not walking with the Lord, do you really think the prompting of the Spirit is going to be very strong in our lives? It won't be if we're not walking with Him. So we have to be walking in the Spirit, and we'll be set up for divine appointments. God will allow us to bring up salvation and different things like that, and to have conversations with people. And so we can't underestimate the prompting of the Holy Spirit as it relates to witnessing. As I said before, or I alluded to, at salvation we're given as much of the Holy Spirit as we'll ever have. But how much are we being filled by that Spirit, or are we allowing other things to take away from that? Are we not being filled like we should? When we're not filled, it's because we've allowed sin into our lives, or we haven't been fully submitted to the Lord or what He would have us to do. So what's our submission like? Are we submitted to God and His Spirit, to His working in our lives, to His will? Or are we putting ourselves in front of those things? It really boils down to selfishness and to pride when we're not witnessing like we should. That's really what it boils down to. And so we need the Spirit's direction for whom God wants us to witness to. And this is related to the Spirit's prompting. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8 together. Acts chapter 8. We'll start with verse 27, very common portion of scripture when talking about witnessing, but it's a great example for us, and I want us to see it tonight. Acts 8, 7. The Bible says, "And he arose, speaking of Philip, and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." That's that Spirit's prompting that we know. And so verse 30 says, "And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said," verse 31, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So what would have happened if Philip didn't heed to the call of the Spirit in his life, to God's Spirit's leadership upon him, to go and talk to that Ethiopian eunuch? He would have never been saved. We would never have this story in Scripture, and that man would have never gotten converted. He would have died and gone to hell. He made an impact on his eternity because he obeyed. He simply obeyed the command to witness. And so that's the same thing for us today, that any time we have that prompting of the Spirit to witness, we must obey it. We don't know what eternal consequences are at stake when we make those decisions. And so the other thing is, not just did he go, did he obey the command, but then he also asked the right questions. He was very sensitive to what he needed to ask to get the conversation going. Understandest thou what thou readest? Are you really understanding, knowing probably his background? He's not a Jew. He doesn't quite understand these things. But he asked pointed questions, questions that will lead him to a conversation about salvation, which is really what's most important in this man's life at this time. And so we have to be sensitive to those things. The third tool that we have as part of the armament for the soul winner is the Bible. Okay, and as we see here in verse 30, Philip asks, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He's asking, do you understand what you're reading from God's word? Do you understand that? So we're to use the Scripture to help lead souls to Christ. We have a great example from Philip here in this portion of Scripture that shows us how to help others understand the truth, and it's by asking the right questions. We have to be guiding and centering the conversation around salvation, not, the foolish questions of the world. Can God create a rock so big that he can't pick up? Things like that. That's not the right way to go about the conversation. We need to center it on the right thing. We can answer these other questions later, different things about Christianity and whatnot, but we have to really center the conversation around what's most important, and that's that person's soul, because you don't know the next time you'll have an opportunity to witness to them. So you have to take advantage of that instance there that the Lord has provided. Let's go back to our text here, Romans chapter 10. And in verse 2, the Bible says, "They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." And so it's up to us to help impart that knowledge to the lost soul. And what do we do to do that with? We use the Bible. Okay, that's how we bring the knowledge of salvation to that lost soul, is by using God's word to help them to understand the truth. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to use this tool that God has given to us. How many people do we hear today who say they have a relationship with the Lord, but in their works they deny Him? I mean, it's literally a dime a dozen today. People who profess Christ, say they have salvation, say they have a relationship with the Lord, and then they go out and do X, Y, Z contrary to the Scripture. And so the gospel has been so watered down, especially in our country and even in the world. I mean, as we saw tonight with Lesotho, there's a pseudo-Christianity, like James said, that's all spread out throughout the world. So when the world looks at Christians and say, well, he says he's a Christian, he drinks, he this, he that, he's just like me. What's the difference? He says he has Christ, but there's no difference. And so that's why we have to really allow our light to shine in such a way that they see the difference in us as opposed to all the other worldly Christianity, religiosity that's out there. Okay, we really need to be able to stand apart from that and show them what true Christianity is all about. And the way we do that is by we use God's word. Okay, so very distinctly we need to say, yes, your friend so-and-so says they're a Christian, or even yourself, you say you're a Christian, but according to what God's word has to say, this is what a Christian should be doing. This is salvation experience according to what God's word says. This is as we know it, according to the Bible. And that's how you kind of cut through and work through these different issues that you'll come across. You have to use the Bible, because otherwise, it's just our philosophy. And so what's different from one man's philosophy to the next? By using God's word, that's going to be the ultimate decider between the two. So we have to use God's word. We've been given that tool for a good reason. And so we need to use God's word to show men their lost condition and to wake them out of the stupor that this world can put them in. You know, the world really desensitizes people from realizing that there are eternal ramifications to our decisions and choices in life. Think about before you were saved. Did you really consider your eternal soul all that often? Or were you so wrapped up in your world, in your sin, in what the devil was keeping you busy doing, as opposed to really thinking about what truly matters? And that's, after all this, then what? And that's what we have to do. We have to use God's word to wake people out of their stupor that the devil has gotten them into because of all the distractions of life and of sin. We have to use God's word to cut through that. And so it's important that we use the Bible skillfully to expose the void that's in the hearts of all men before salvation. Is it not true, beloved, that there's a void in your heart before you're saved? Will you amen that tonight, saved person? There's a void in every man's heart. And even though some people may try to move past that, try to act like it's not there, try to, you know, cover it up a little bit by using drugs or alcohol, desensitize it, it's there. The void is in every man's heart who is separated from God. There's a void there. There's a need for fulfillment or happiness or whatever you want to call it. But it's been put there for a reason, and it's because people need the Lord. That's what we truly need. And so we have to use God's word to expose that need, because on the surface they may be, you know, all good. They may try to put on a persona of being okay. But once we use God's word to kind of cut through that a little bit, like I mentioned, we'll expose that need of salvation. And so we have to be skillful with God's word in order to do that. Let's see here, the power of our testimony. I'm running out of time really fast. I can't believe this. So the fourth thing is the power of our testimony. It's important that we let our light so shine before men. Just as a candle emits light for all to see, our testimony ought to be the same. Our light should be undeniable when we go out in the world. It should not be a question as to whether or not we're a Christian or not. There shouldn't be any doubt as to whether or not we follow Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." The definition of an ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. So by assimilating that to this definition, we're an accredited diplomat through salvation. Our accreditation is through being saved, okay? So we've been accredited, and now we're a diplomat to go out and spread the good news to the lost around us, to show them the truth. And so that's our job. We need to be representing Christ. We need to be talking about others about salvation. And so as Christians, our citizenship is in heaven, and we're to go out into this world to represent Christ and to be His messenger to those around us. So The second thing I want to look at tonight, and I'm going to kind of try to pick up the pace here a little bit, is the soul winner's adversary. So we looked at the armament of the soul winner. Now we're going to look at the adversary of the soul winner. We talked about it earlier when I asked that question about what do you think the biggest obstacle to an effective witness might be? We mentioned it earlier. It's pride, right? The fear of man. In my opinion, I think that's the single biggest obstacle to being an effective soul winner, is by allowing our pride and our fear of man to get in the way from us opening our mouth and sharing the gospel with others. So we have to address this. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." So how do we combat the fear of the Lord? I found this to be very interesting when I read this verse. It's by putting our trust in the Lord. By having faith, we will be able to overcome the fear of man. So we have to have faith at these times to realize, you know what? It's not up to us. It's up to you, Lord, to work through me to reach this lost soul. So don't allow the fear of man to get in the way of that. The key to overcoming our fear of man is to trust in the Lord. This is how we will combat the anxiety that many times can come over a Christian when they're prompted to witness to someone. So I think we've all been acquainted as Christians to that anxiety that you may feel at times when you're faced with the decision on whether or not you're going to witness to somebody. It's a bit of an anxietal feel, you know, what if they do this? What if this goes this way? But we have to overcome that by trusting in the Lord that he's going to see us through that moment and that time and allowing us to be an effective witness to help that person. And so in those moments, we need to put aside our worry and fear and instead take a step out in faith and allow the Lord to do the work as he would see fit in us. We have to realize that we're just messengers. Like I mentioned earlier, we are just here to deliver the message. That's it. And since the world rejected Jesus, they will also reject us. We have to realize that the world rejected Jesus in the worst possible way. And so the same is to be expected for the Christian. It's going to be no different than that. We have to expect it as Christians. It's part of the Christian life. You know, I'm here to tell you, it's going to happen. Okay, so we have to be willing to kind of address it face on, but also put our trust in the Lord that he's going to see us through it. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." It doesn't say in my own strength that I'll be able to get over this, whatever it may be, get through it. It's through Christ which strengtheneth us. So put our trust and our strength in Christ. Rest in that. It's not in our own strength that we can conquer the fear of man. It is through God's power and ability in which we'll be able to conquer it. This can make a world of difference in your life, Christian, if you learn to submit your will over to the Lord and allow him to work through you. Allow the Lord to work through you in faith. The second adversary I want to look at quickly is temptation. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Very well-known verse about temptation. But it has a great promise in it that I want us to see tonight for the Christian. Verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So we see that there's no temptation that we'll face that God hasn't allowed or that isn't common to mankind. Nothing's going to come your way that somebody else hasn't already dealt with and already hasn't conquered as a Christian before. So it's all been done. The Lord has conquered all these things before, and that same spirit, that same power that he's conquered temptation with lives within us through the Holy Spirit. So what a great blessing that is. We need to take advantage of that. We need to be able to overcome. Otherwise, like I mentioned, the Lord's not going to use a filthy vessel. That's going to hinder our witness, is if we're caught up in temptation and sin. If we're not living right, how is the Lord going to use us to witness to others? So we have to overcome this. And so there's a way of escape for all mankind, for all temptation, whether it be the sin of anger, pride, immorality, greed, and so on. There's a way of escape. God has promised us a way of escape through all this. So if you're struggling with a particular temptation tonight, surrender that to the Lord. Give that over to him. Romans 8:37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So we're conquerors in Christ. The Lord has given us the ability to overcome these sins. And so to be an effective witness, we must be free from the weights of sin. Hebrews 12:1, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's what it's about tonight. It's about laying aside these weights and focusing in on the goals as Christians, on what we need to do. And that's really primarily is to reach others, to reproduce ourselves, to reach others with the gospel. And that's what we need to be focused on. We also have to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I would have us turn to Galatians 5, but for time's sake, we're gonna skip that one. Another adversary we have to overcome is the lack of God's power in our lives. We cannot allow ourselves to go through days or weeks without God's power upon us. It's imperative that we're walking in the Spirit consistently. You know, we can't have this up and down roller coaster of Christianity. It's going to lead to ineffective witnessing or infrequent witnessing. We're not going to be able to have the power that we need to in order to reach others on a consistent basis. Another opponent or obstacle is laziness and complacency, thinking that what we have is okay. You know, we're pretty filled up. You know, we're good enough from what we have here at Long Island Baptist. We're doing okay. But that can change in an instant. And we have to do our jobs as Christians to continue to reproduce what we have here. And I'll talk about that at the end of our sermon here. And so it's easy for us to be satisfied with where we're at, but that's so against what we read in God's Word. We ought always to be reaching for higher ground, to be better today than we were yesterday, and to be more like Christ. This needs to be our goal each and every day, is to be more like Christ than we were the day before, to be walking closer to Him each and every day, each and every moment. Another thing that can work against us is a lack of skillfulness. Let's quickly turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12 reads, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And so what we see here is there are people who stay on the milk of God's word and aren't able to grow up into strong meat like we should be able to handle. You know, there's a growth path for every Christian, and we ought to be trending upward in our growth the more that time goes on. There comes a time when we should outgrow the milk of the word and be able to handle strong meat. You know, we shouldn't be on the milk of the word for years and years and years on end. We need to be able to grow up into that next stage and take on, you know, more things, more doctrine, understand it more intimately so that we can share it with others, so that we can have the skillfulness in God's word to reach others. You know, it's so important that we dedicate ourselves to the study of God's word so that we can have answers from the Bible to some of life's most difficult questions. The only way we're going to become skillful in the word is by being in the word. And so we have to be in God's word daily in order to have that skillfulness that's required to reach others with the gospel. Our last point tonight is the soul winner's ambition. What is the soul winner's ambition? Why do we do what we do? Why do we need to reach others? And so, first of all, it's to answer God's call for laborers. God has called laborers to reach others with the gospel. John 4:35 says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The time is now to reach those who are lost. It's not down the road. It's not eventually. It's not in the fall. We're going to make a big push, or later this summer. It's now. It's today. While we are given today, this should be our goal, and our motive is to be reaching others with the gospel. We have to do it now. The field is white unto harvest now, the Bible says. People are ready. People are looking, actively seeking tonight for something. They're searching. And we have to give them the good word so that they can be saved and be fulfilled and be saved. So every time that these doors are open for Soul Winning Saturdays and it's your team's turn, really ought to be out here contributing to the efforts of our church. Many hands make light work. And I that's why one thing I really like about our new system is that everybody's getting involved, and everybody should be involved in going out and passing out tracts. But even just on a daily basis, you know, in our sphere of influence, you know, we should be making an impact for witnessing. The second ambition, again, very quickly, I appreciate your patience with me, is to realize that evangelism is the only way to perpetuate and preserve the Lord's church. The only way we're going to keep what we have here going is to witness, is to reach others. We cannot become stagnant here at Long Island Baptist. We have to keep bringing people in. We have to keep reaching others so that we can grow even what we have here. It's such a good thing that we have here at Long Island Baptist. It's worth preserving, and it's worth perpetuating. And so we have to work hard together, beloved, tonight to reach others, to continue the good work. You know, think about the labor that's been put out by Pastor for all these years. We should keep that going, all right? That's something that we need to continue to do here. Thirdly, it's to be like Jesus in our care for others. Paul's motivation was out of sincere concern for the souls of his fellow man. This is what drove him to travel thousands of miles in an effort to reach lost people for the sake of the gospel. Would I be willing to do the same? Would you tonight be willing to travel thousands of miles to reach souls? Are we willing to just bring it up in conversation on a daily basis? That's what's required. And so yet, sometimes this type of effort is required if we're to reach the world with the gospel. Fourth of all, as we're winding down here, is out of a love and passion for souls. So Paul, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, loved people and wanted to see them converted. Jesus consistently went the extra mile for people during his earthly ministry, through hunger, through temptation, through fatigue. Our Lord always served others and had concern for the salvation of others, even at his weakest and most difficult moments. This needs to be cultivated in our lives, and it comes from drawing closer to the Lord. And so we need to have a real passion to see others leave the emptiness that the world has to offer and to come to the Lord. In closing, you know, I remember back at First Baptist Church, I remember old sign used to say, "We're building lives," right? That's what it said. That was our phrase at First Baptist Church. And that's really what we're doing here at Long Island Baptist, even still. We're building lives. We're rebuilding lives. You know, people come to us out of the world with broken hearts, broken lives, and we're going to build those lives here. And the way we do that is through salvation, through God's word, through good teaching of the scripture, and that's what we should be replicating. This is exactly what we should be shooting for. Think about where you'd be tonight had it not been for the faithful witness who invited you to church or spoke to you about the Lord. This is the impact we need to be having consistently in the lives of others. Where would you be tonight had you not been invited to come to church, had somebody not told you about the gospel? Where would we all be? Think about that. Think about the other people out there who are experiencing that now. It's the fulfilling work of leading others to Christ, directing them to Jesus, who is so worthy to be Lord and Savior in each person's life. And lastly, it's to realize the fate of a lost soul. That's our ambition. What's the fate of the lost soul? It's eternal damnation and hellfire. And so that's plenty of ambition for us to reach those people so that they can escape eternal damnation. If we would just put aside the weights that so easily beset us, we can have an eternal, lasting impact on the lives of the lost souls around us. Will you pray with me tonight? Let's all stand. Consider these things. Go to the Lord in prayer for this very important topic. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the study.